It is a joy to be with you. Take your Bibles and turn to Deuteronomy chapter 30. Deuteronomy chapter 30. And I really do appreciate the songs being towards revival and the Spirit of God working. And that is tremendous. And it makes a difference, that is for sure. Revival, we're going to see tonight, is a choice. Revival is a choice. There's a teaching that is infiltrating our churches and many, many places, saying that no matter what you do, revival is only what God will do when he wants to do, and there's nothing that you can do or I can do as far as having a promised response. But the Bible does say, if my people, then will I. And so revival, we're going to see, is not only conditional, but really, revival comes down to a choice and a response. You see, we don't initiate revival. God does. And as God initiates, he's waiting for our response right now. And it's going to be the response to truth and his word and how our understanding and how he convicts us with that tonight. Let's just go to God's word tonight and have a full open heart and a readiness to be able to certainly choose what he wants to. If you're able to stand with me, would you stand out of respect of God's word? Deuteronomy chapter 30, we're going to read verses 19 and 20, and then we'll go through several verses in this passage as we look to this text tonight. Deuteronomy 30, verse 19. The Bible says, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. Revival is a choice. Let's pray and ask the Lord to help us. Father, would you please help us to come to full faith in responding to you, initiating in our hearts the revival that you want to take place. Lord, I pray that you'd have a full work of absolute sway over us and help us to have yielded spirits, and broken wills to allow you to do your work. Fill me, Lord, I pray, with your spirit. Lord, would you please, upon this church and upon this area, pour out your spirit in such a way there would be a great and a mighty reviving that only you could get the glory for. So, Lord, would you please do a work tonight in our hearts towards that end? I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. When a train is going down the tracks and it comes to an intersection and it can either go to the left or to the right, it has a choice of which track it will take. It is a very important choice because this decision determines the destination. We have come to such a crossroads right now, tonight, in the life of Madison Baptist Church. As we're looking towards having these meetings, we call them revival meetings. It is for the pursuit of revival, seeking revival. God, revive our hearts. And we're going to understand throughout the week more of what that means. And tomorrow night, I'm very burdened about a message on the fullness of the Spirit and understanding all of what God wants to do in our hearts and our lives. But as we come to this place and this crossroads, we must see that there is a promised response that God is waiting for us to make. It does make a difference how you respond. It does make a difference on what you choose, and specifically, what you choose even this evening. Revival is a result of a choice that you can make right now. What will you choose? As we look at this passage, let's first of all understand this. Is number one, revival is conditional upon your choice. Number one, revival is conditional upon your choice. We're going to go to the beginning of the chapter, and we're going to work our way through this. And the pastor said something about not getting out until 9 or 9:30, so we should have plenty of time. And no, that is, we're not going to take that long. Look at verse 1. The Bible says this, "And it shall come to pass, when all these things are come upon thee, the blessing and the curse, which I have set before thee, that thou shalt call them to mind among all the nations, whither the Lord thy God hath given thee." Now, again, God is putting before them two choices. Blessings right here,
or cursings right here. Which will you choose? Now, it's very important how they respond. So this is the same way. Think of it as, you know, a lot of times people have this mentality of revival as negative, revival is bad. Well, the reason perhaps because of straight preaching or preaching on sin or self or pride, all those uncomfortable things, that uncomfortable conviction. But once we yield and once we are broken in our will, we see that revival is refreshing. Revival is wonderful. There's more blessings with revival. You're not going to be blessed. You're not going to be happy. You're not going to be full of peace and joy without God's reviving in your heart. And so he's putting together and before us blessings that we can choose. But as we do so, we need to remember the truth of God. It says, call them to mind. You know, this week, we're going to bring things to your mind. Now, no doubt, I would say somewhere along the line, you probably learned something from God's word where you say, oh, I didn't see that before. Wow, that's wonderful. And the Holy Spirit is going to illuminate a truth to our minds and our hearts. But for the most part, it might be, well, you sit in a service and you say, you know, the majority of that was just a good reminder. Why do we need reminders? Because we're so forgetful. But not only that, we are hearers, and we think that because we're hearers that we have arrived, but we need to be doers of what we've heard and be actively depending upon those. I think of the prodigal son, and he came to his right mind as he was there in the slop and feeding the pigs, and he was so hungry, he was going to reach down, and he would have fain filled his belly with that same food and slop and everything that those hogs were going to eat. And here he comes to his senses and he brings to mind what it used to be like and returns to his father. I believe a tremendous revival story and illustration. You know, the Holy Spirit is the one that's going to bring things to mind. I think of John 14, 26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. So today and throughout this week, yes, I'm the preacher. Yes, I would be the spokesman. I would just be the voice. But would you look past me and look to God's word and allow the Spirit of God to be the true teacher and to be the one that brings things to remembrance and to mind to say, this is the truth that we need to understand. This is where we need to be in dependence upon. Allow the Spirit to do his full work. But as we do so, not only do we see in verse 1 a reminder, but in verse 2 and following, we see a return to God. And it's in three parts. Look at verse 2. It says, and thou shalt return unto the Lord thy God. Almost sounds like the message you heard on 1 Samuel 7, doesn't it, on Wednesday. It says, and thou shalt return unto the Lord thy God, and thou shalt obey his voice according to all that I command thee this day, that thou and thy children with all thy heart and with all thy soul. So how should we return to God? In three ways. First of all, we return to God in complete obedience. Notice he says, according to all that I command thee. According to all that I command thee this day. Return to God in complete obedience. Let me ask, do you have complete obedience? Do you completely obey your authority, those over you? Do you realize this, that let me ask this. Who placed the authority in your life? God placed the authority. All powers are ordained of God, Romans 13 tells us. That means all authority, state authorities, work authorities, church, marital authorities, all of these institutions that God has established, God has placed these authorities in our lives. And we need to recognize this, that when we disobey authority, we disobey God. The Bible says when you resist this power, you resist God. You know you're resisting God when you're not obeying your authority. So let's say your place of employment has a handbook. You're supposed to read that, you know that. You know, oh yeah, I read it. At least I glanced over it. And okay, you know that now you're responsible. Your college, your school has a rule book, and you read it. Theoretically, and you mark, I read it and I agreed to comply to the rules. You know what? Wouldn't it be good for you just to obey completely what you already know? Are you obedient to your parents the first time? Immediately. That's immediate obedience. Are you obedient not only immediately, are you obedient privately when they're not looking? And then are you obedient completely? Ask about those three things as a young person tonight. Are you obeying the first time? Or do you wait until your parents get really, really red and the veins start popping out and they tell you, now, I told you, and then you realize, oh boy, there's going to be some type of explosion. I better go do it before something bad happens. That's not a immediate obedience. That's not obedience. Slow obedience is no obedience. If I had a donkey and I try to bring in the donkey and for an illustration, I'm pulling on and I get past her and he's pushing on the donkey and we finally get 10 minutes later, we get the donkey in here. Would you, anybody here say, wow, what an obedient donkey? No, you say it's stubborn, right? It puts its heels up, stiffens its neck. You know, it's not a compliment to be called stiff-necked, is it? And God called Israel stiff-necked many times. Why? Because they weren't obedient. What if Noah didn't obey completely? You know, two different times in Genesis, it says that Noah obeyed all that God commanded him. What if he said, no, I don't want just one window. I want a number of windows. And instead of this door, I like one of those French doors, maybe the sliding glass doors. That probably wouldn't have been the best idea. And what if he just changed the design? Or I don't think we need to use these pegs or this tar or whatever, or this pitch. And you know, the truth is, he had to obey completely or it would not have worked out. Look, things are not going to work out for you properly. Don't trick yourself. Don't deceive yourselves if you're not simply obedient. Don't act like you're spiritual when you're disobeying the authority over you. You know, the husband is the lead. The wives are to submit. You know, I didn't write that. The Bible, the Lord put it in the Bible for us. And I know that's a very unpopular message right now. But are you obedient to your leadership and authority? Return to God in complete obedience. But not only in verse 2, return to God in complete obedience. Number 2, return to God in perfect love. It says, return to the Lord thy God, and thou shalt obey his voice according to all that he commanded thee this day, and thy children with all thine heart. God wants your whole heart, perfect love, given to him. The Bible says in 1 John 2:15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. What happens with the things that are in the world? They come and they steal away your heart and your affection. Look at verse 17. The Bible says in Deuteronomy 30, verse 17, but if thine heart turn away, so that thou wilt not hear, but thou shalt be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them. I've been to India this last year. We went to India. By the way, we had all of those outreaches that you saw last year during a pandemic, and I cannot explain to you how last year we had more people saved last year than in any other year in 25 years of evangelism. Now, it has to be God. During a pandemic and all of these things and having crusades, it was incredible. We went to India, and Jonathan and myself, and it was just tremendous. We had 400 people saved there, and just a wonderful thing. And they have so many idols. Can you remember? We can't remember how many, not even thousands. I think you got 20 million, you know. We thought it was a few thousand, and then the 30,000, it was like 20 million something. There's no way they could even remember half of those, and you know, they look so strange to me. You know, they look really weird. All these arms and all these things and different head, different body and all this. And I'd rather stay away from them. But you can even get a travel size idol on your way back. Just put it in your travel bag and you're ready to go. And but they usually are gold or silver or something. They catch their attention. That's how it starts with an idol. It just is something that allures you. Oh, it gets your attention. And then it steals your affection and draws away your heart. And then after it steals your affection, it becomes an authority. And you see, we don't think we have idols here in America. But you have so many things that get your attention distract you, steal your affection, and then become an authority. Money. Oh, that money, that draw for having more, that lust for having more, that love of money. Is money the root of all evil? No, the love of money is. And that covetousness is there, materialism. We've got to have more stuff and more things. We have to have the next device, and we have to have this better thing, and we have to have the nicer car. We have to have the room addition. You know, when everything boils down to it, you know, we could live so much more simply if we just simply did not love things and stuff. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. But not only that, should we return to God in complete obedience and a perfect love, something stolen your heart and your love away from God that you say there's something else there. But then the third thing in verse 2, we see an absolute surrender. The last phrase says, with all thy soul. With all thy soul. Take your Bibles and look at Luke chapter 9 and verse 24. Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. With all thy soul. Are you surrendered absolutely, completely? Luke chapter 9. Find, if you will, verse 23 and verse 24. The Bible says in Luke 9, 23, and he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever shall save his life shall lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. It's interesting. The word life in verse 24 is the Greek word for soul. With all your soul. This is the matter of the selfish part of you, the natural man. You're made up of body, soul, and spirit. The soul doesn't mean it's automatically just the flesh. The soul loves to team up with the flesh and they make a terrible combination. And that body part of things, but the soul is the natural you. It's you, it's your ambition, it's your desires, it's your will, it's your thinking, it's your analytics, it's your emotions. It's all about you. And it says there, whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall save it. What's the point is to deny yourself, your selfish, soulish nature, and say, dear God, every day, you know what I need to do is have a funeral. Get up. I'm having a funeral this morning, and I just want to say rest in peace, Chris Miller, because he's dead today, and this body right here isn't controlled by self and his soul anymore, but it's controlled by the Spirit of God who lives inside of him. You know when someone is fully surrendered, when they're dead. The enemy can't fight anymore, right? Can't do anything anymore. There's no will. There's no resistance. Are you dead to self? If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross. This is personal, your cross. This isn't the cross of Jesus Christ. He's not dying again. He died once for all and is taken care of. It's settled. He was buried. He rose again. But you need to take up your cross. What does that mean? Literally a physical cross, put it up in your yard? No. This is a cross where you are daily dying to self. It is saying no. You know what would be really good is just to tell yourself no. Say, no, you can't eat that. No, you can't do that. No, you can't go there. No, you can't say that. No, you can't listen to that. No, you can't watch that. And how much of what we allow into our life comes in, and again, it steals away our affection. I used to think I was fully surrendered when I was 17. And I surrendered to the ministry and whatever God would have. Then God directed my heart to Bible college, and then I surrendered to evangelism. I thought, man, I'm fully surrendered. And then We started into full-time evangelism. I said, Lord, okay, we're trusting you. We're surrendering to you for everything. Whenever we just get an invitation to come preach, and then we just get an offering and live on a faith-based situation, Lord, we're surrendered to you. Then I thought I was just, I'm fully surrendered. You know what I've learned? That God constantly needs to get more of me. And I think this is just full, complete, total. And then I realize there's something else. And not only is a directional decision of, okay, dear God, here's my life. Here is my future. Here's my everything. But it's a daily decision of saying, dear God, here's my body. You know, in Romans 12:1, the Bible says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Isn't that something? That you present your bodies a living sacrifice. And now, God could have asked for so many other things, right? Your talents? You know, how about music talent? You know, there's a lot here that play instruments or sing in a choir or sing a special or whatever. And you do that. And don't be embarrassed or whatever. But if you have some type of music ability, you sing or you play something, it doesn't mean you're the best at it, but you have some type of music ability. Would you raise your hand? Okay, would you raise your hand? Okay. Okay, there we go. More being honest. All right. Okay, good. All right. So you have some type of music ability. What about academics? What about academics? You know, intellect. How about in school? When you were going through school, maybe you were good with the mathematics, algebra, geometry didn't bother you. Maybe you're good with science, you know, the sciences, and you did pretty well. Maybe not a 4.0. But, you know, you're a good student. How many are currently good students or were good students? Now some of us, you know, you're a little hesitant, especially since your parents are watching. You know, some of us, it's great. It's the older we get, the better we were. You know, it's like, oh, yeah, I was a great student. Yeah. You can't even remember. You know, and so there's intellect. Oh, how about personality? How about personality? You know, some of us have an outgoing personality, and you can talk to anybody, and you just have like this gift of gab, and you can out-talk a telemarketer, you know. And how many of you would just say you have an outgoing personality? Outgoing personalities, okay, all right, there you go. And but then what about the rest of us? What if you say, hey, I don't have this great music ability. When I sing in the shower stops. I mean, that's pretty bad. I sound like Kermit the Frog, you know, and when I'm trying to sing. How about intellect? You're like, man, I didn't do well in maths and sciences. When I got a B, I thought that was, you know, that was B for bad, so I hardly got those at all. C was for correct. D was dynamite. I got those all the time. F was, you know, that was for fantastic, you know. A, I never got A's. A's for ignorant. See, Brother Miller, I don't even get the joke, you see, that's how bad I am, you know, and this is bad. Some of you, how about the personality? You say, man, I couldn't raise my hand for a personality. You know, some of you can talk to a tree, some of you are the tree, you know, you're like, I can't say anything, can't talk, you know, does God say, okay, everybody with a great personality and great intellect and great music abilities, you give yourself and all those things to God? No, he says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies. How many of you have a body? Please participate. Okay, all right, you do. You know what God wants from you? Your body. So let me ask, has your body been fully and absolutely surrendered and yielded to God? Or would you have to say, no? If I just went back the last 7 days, no, Brother Miller, I did this on my own, and I did what I wanted to do over here, and I never asked God one time about that, and I lived this whole day, I knew I was grumpy, and I knew I was full of self, and I was irritable, and no, I'm not returning to God like I ought to in absolute surrender. Now, this sounds like it's just so out of reach. Brother Miller, do you really believe complete obedience is possible? Perfect love absolute surrender? You're just setting the bar so high that we can't attain to it. And that's some true. You and I cannot. But when we yield to God and we at least say, "Dear God, I'm willing. So Lord, would you please make me completely obedient? Lord, would you fill me with your perfect love towards you and not be drawn away? And Lord, I can't even surrender right, but Lord, I'm willing to. And Lord, would you help me right now? And Lord, help me to die to self and I will turn to you." And when you do so, God does the rest. He responds. And verse 3, the Bible says this, that then the Lord thy God will turn thy captivity and have compassion on thee and return and gather thee from all the nations where the Lord thy God hath scattered thee. You know, God's going to have compassion. You just tell God tonight, "Dear God, I'm not completely obedient like I ought to, and I haven't been perfectly in love with you. I've been distracted with the things of this world, and I'm not absolutely surrendered. But Lord, I want to be, and Lord, I'm yielding to you tonight," and he'll have compassion on you, and he'll do surgery in your heart and your life to help you, to help with this. Look at verse 6. It says, "And the Lord thy God will circumcise thine heart and the heart of thy seed, to love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, that thou mayest live." In verse 8 it says, "And thou shalt return and obey the voice of the Lord and do all his commandments which I command thee." You know what God wants to do tonight is a spiritual surgery. Just say, "Dear Lord, you know, here, I'm willing, but I can't do it." Can you do surgery on yourself? Well, you could, but I wouldn't recommend it. I wouldn't recommend getting the do-it-yourself surgery kit on the Amazon Prime, okay? You know, it gets here in 2 days and it has your mirror and, you know, you can just... No, you shouldn't do that, okay? You should say, "Lord, you have to do the surgery." Now, if you had a physical, literally physical surgery that was serious, you'd ask a physician, ask a surgeon, you'd ask a second, you'd get a second, maybe a third opinion, and you just try to get as much information and you do research. Is this surgeon good? Well, some of the time, he's not bad. I mean, real bad. You said, whoa, I want a good surgeon. You know what the Holy Spirit's going to do? You know, the surgeon to this week is not your pastor. He's a good pastor. And he's one that you should follow. But the surgeon's not him. The surgeon's not the evangelist. It is the Spirit of God who takes his surgery instrument of choice, the Word of God, this two-edged sword, and he pierces even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit to show us when we are in the spirit and we're just soulish and natural and selfish and we're not living the way we ought to. Would you allow God to do that surgery to not only reveal but to remove that cancer of sin and self to help you do what you ought to? And when you choose to say, "Dear God, I'm willing to return to you in this complete obedience, perfect love, absolute surrender," then your choice has a consequence today. Your choice to reject has a consequence today. And we see that in the latter part of the passage. Look at verse 16. Verse 15 says, "See, I've set before thee this day life and good and death and evil." Deuteronomy 30, verse 16. "And that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply, and the Lord God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. But if thine heart turn away, so that thou wilt not hear, but if thou shalt be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I denounce you this day, and you shall surely perish. And you shall not prolong your days upon the land, whither thou passest over Jordan to possess it. I call heaven and to earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live." Your choice today is a choice of spiritual death, spiritual life. Now, we never are going to, if you're saved, you've trusted Jesus Christ as Savior, you're eternally secure. You can never lose your salvation. That is not what we're talking about. But the fellowship is broken and you're not experiencing the revived life that you should, and you should. As the Spirit of God works in your heart, don't quench him. As the Spirit of God is showing you sin, do not grieve him. And he's trying to get you to change, do not resist his will with your stubborn will. Allow the good surgeon that's willing to help you and compassionate towards you to do his work in your life. And you choose self, you choose that path of death and darkness, And we are disconnected from the source of life. You know, my son, while he was in college, he went to his car and he turned the key of the car. It wouldn't start. He thought, man, this is a major thing. I don't have enough money. I can barely pay my bill. I've got to get to work. He's all nervous. He asks someone on staff at the college to come look at his car. He pops open the hood, and 5 minutes, he's on his road on the way to work. What was wrong? His battery cables were loose. They just came disconnected from the source of energy to be able to get the spark to start the car. Oh, here it is. Tighten it up. 5 minutes, you're on your way. Look, folks, when we just come disconnected from the Spirit of God, the truth is we've come disconnected from the light and the life that we need to. Like that train, we have a choice. When we choose to reject God, we choose to quench, to grieve, to resist, and we're going down this track, then we continue to go down that track. Can we get over? Yes, we can. But with the train is locked. In order to go back over here, it has to go back to this intersection and then take the right path. There might be something to illustrate and learn with that. And what would that be? That if there is a cheating, if there is a sin of lying, if there is disobedience back here, and you say, no, I'm not going to confess it, but I'm just going to reject the Spirit's working in my heart, my life, and go down this path, and you think that you can have God's blessing, and you know in the back of your mind, you think of that cheating, you think of that lying, you think of that stealing, you think of that disobedience, you think of whatever it was, that fleshly indulgence, and you've covered it up, and you keep going down the track, and you say, I'm okay, I'm okay, I'm okay. No, no, no. You've got to go back to this point and say, dear God, I confess this sin. It is wrong. And Lord, I want to be clean. And then he can get you back. Shunted is the old term, to get back onto the right track. Is there a sin? Is there something in the past? Is there someone that you've offended? Someone you need to forgive? Someone you need to ask for forgiveness? Would you go back to that point? You know, what you choose tonight is absolutely important. We see throughout the Word of God that the Spirit of God is life. It says here in the passage in verse 20, it says, cleave unto the Lord thy God, for he is thy life. This revival is when you come back to God. Personal revival is a return to the person of God and the Word of God through the Spirit-filled life. And it is that coming back to him. And as we do so, we are cleaving to him and we're having his life living through us. And it makes all the difference in the world. The choice. You know, this week you have a choice. Will you come tomorrow night? Will you come throughout the week? You know what? That simple decision of just even attending a service can absolutely be life-changing. During high school, I made a decision on the porch of my steps that I was going to go to church even when my parents did not, because I could drive at that point. Life-changing decision. I was called to preach the year later when I was 17. I made the decision to surrender to the ministry one night when a group of teens, we went to a revival service that wasn't at our church. Another evangelist was preaching. That's when I surrendered. Why? Because of a choice of going. I wouldn't be here tonight. There's a man from Cameroon, Africa, who's saved tonight because he came back on a Sunday night service. He was in the Sunday morning service. He responded in the service. This was in Woodridge, Illinois, just 3 weeks ago. And he talked to the pastor, and he said, the pastor said, are you saved? He said, oh, yes, I'm a very good man. He didn't understand. He didn't get any further in the counseling, and so the man left. He'd come two or three times to the church on Sunday mornings, but never Sunday night. But that night, he came back Sunday night, and he heard the gospel. He said, I had never heard it put that way before. And he said, I am not good enough to go to heaven. I need to trust Jesus alone. And he was saved. You know what? That service absolutely changed his life. A choice. Would you tonight make a choice? What is it that God wants you to do? Will you surrender and get back on track in the Spirit-filled life in the matter of revival? Revival is a choice that God gives us. When you choose life and revival, you're choosing God himself. Let's pray. Father, I ask for your help. Would you please give it? Lord, help us to be fully surrender to you and return to you in these areas, I ask. With our heads bowed, with our eyes closed, let me ask, first of all, if you're here tonight, you say, Brother Miller, I know one thing for sure is if I died right now, I know I'm on my way to heaven. I've trusted Christ. If you know for sure you're saved, and you know that certainly, can you slip your hand up throughout the room? I'm saved. That's wonderful. God bless you. You can place your hands down. Is there anyone here that says, I've never trusted Christ, or I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven? Is there anyone like that? I'm just curious. I don't want to miss anyone. Okay, dear believer, let me ask this. Did God speak to you in one of these three areas, returning to the Lord in complete obedience, perfect love, or absolute surrender? Would you just let God do his spiritual surgery in your heart tonight? How about that complete obedience? You say, God spoke in my heart. I haven't been obedient completely, and the Lord spoke to me. If that's true for you, can you raise your hand throughout the room? God bless you. A number of young people and adults. God bless you. Let me ask secondly, who here would say, God spoke to me about that perfect love? I've been drawn away in my heart. I've been distracted by things of this world. And God spoke to me about not having that perfect love strictly towards God. If that's true for you, can you slip your hand up? Say, that's me. A number of hands. Praise the Lord for that. You may place your hands down. Let me ask finally, who here would say, you know, I realize tonight that God wants my body in absolute surrender every day, and I haven't been living in that absolute surrender. I've been doing what myself and my soul, and I just realize I need to die to self. God's spoken to me about this absolute surrender daily. If that's true for you, can you slip your hand up throughout the room? God bless you. Even more hands, and that's wonderful. You can place your hands down. Would you look this way? You can look right here. In just a moment, we'll stand and we'll have the pianist play. And I'll pray first, and then I'll have the pianist play. God spoke in your heart. Would you respond how you would normally in a service? That is, responding to the invitation, finding a place to pray, coming to the front, or kneeling wherever you can, and just responding to the Lord. But I would encourage you not just to stand and just go with the flow, but to physically respond in some way as God has spoken to your heart spiritually. Would you do that? Everyone standing, let's bow for prayer. Father, would you please work in our hearts? Lord, thank you so much for so many people and the willingness and the tenderness to allow you to work and do that spiritual surgery. Lord, help us to return to you this week in all three of these areas. And Lord, thank you for working on my heart. And I pray you work with my brothers and sisters. And Lord, help each one that have raised their hand, give them grace, give them guidance, give them help right now as they pray to you. With our heads bowed, with our eyes closed, would you respond to the Lord right now as the pianist plays?